Welcome, 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 welcome to the Happy Hour. 5:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matthew Scraby. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. B-dubs, as they like to call it. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. We have to finish our Big Five.
Yes, we do.
Turn your mic on there, son.
All right. It's just my first day in radio.
I want to thank... Can I thank whoever sent that tweet? That's really funny.
Oh, J-Mac.
J-Mac. Thank you, J-Mac. The picture of me with the wig underneath the revolutionary-style chapeau.
You know what's funny about this picture? Funny. And I've retweeted it at Matt Scraby if you want to see it. You know what's funny about this picture, guys? Chris looks the part. Like... He's in the wrong era. Doesn't he, Tony? Look at this. Doesn't
I should have grown up in the 1800s, you're saying?
Does, no, this is like 1700s.
It fits him pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily pull off a 17. That's what you should be for Halloween, is a colonial person.
Here's another...
wood teeth.
Speaking of... wood teeth. Speaking of funny photos, somebody photoshopped a picture of Tom Brady, the new minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, and his new look... And it's Tom Brady with the Mark Davis haircut. That's pretty funny looking, too. Here's this if you can see the camera.
That is good.
It's
good
such one. A bad haircut that it really only looks good on Mark Davis.
That's it. Yeah, that's nobody else can rock that one.
That is really funny.
All right, tell us about Fireman Ed Scrabe.
Boom, yes. Boom, boom, boom. Bam, 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 bam.
Okay. Wrong one.
Yeah, sorry.
Fireman Ed, if you don't know, he's a big-time Jets fan. He's been going to games for years and years and years. And he was also part of, like, what is it? They're, like, in-game entertainment. They put him up on the screen. He cheers. He
riles
does all that
up the
stuff.
Crowd.
Yeah. Riles up the crowd. Well, apparently, Fireman Ed...
There's a picture of Fireman Ed there on our
on the stream,
chat.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to play you what he had to say, but... Apparently, Fireman Ed might be being phased out by the Jets. Here's what Fireman Ed had to say.
Hey, I've been getting a lot of emails and texts from fans about the Jet experience in the stadium with the big screens. But we scored a touchdown, and normally, as a tradition, we're always put on a screen. Me, Scott, and Jetman are put on a screen to do the Jet chant and get the crowd going, which is a staple in Jet Life Stadium. It gives them more of a widespread experience for the fans to see, and we can get the defensive chant going. But something's going on in the Jet production team over in Jet Life Stadium. I don't know exactly what's going on, but they're phasing us out, and I'd like to know if somebody knows anything.
So it goes on. That was just a short part.
Touchdowns. He's got that hard Jersey accent.
Jet I gotta say, stadium. The most exciting thing to me about watching any Jet game is watching Fireman Ed do the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets
this
chant.
This is very interesting.
Don't
you
think
say
it's more
that.
Interesting than, you know, handing off to Breece Hall?
No. No.
Right.
There used to be a guy...
I like Fireman Ed.
...at Candlestick Park when I was a kid going to the games with my grandpa, 49er games, and he had a banjo, and he would walk around, he would play his banjo during the game, he'd have his little spinny hat. We all know these fans. So I don't even remember who's up first. I'm just going to go with you, Chris, since you've been so vocal about this. When do super fans become a part of the quote-unquote experience?
First time I remember. Well, super fan, I mean, I don't know. Does that include the chicken? Like, I mean, or do you have to just be in no costume?
No, because I think Fireman Ed has to purchase his tickets
right.
to be
All
there.
Right. Well, there was a guy. This Fireman Ed makes me think of this guy, Wild Bill Hagee. And I just looked him up. He was a Baltimore Orioles guy. And in the late 70s, early 80s, Orioles were really good, won a World Series or two. He used to do the O, and then he'd make, you know,
oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway, it would rock the entire stadium. I think everybody there loved it. But alas, Fireman Ed, Wild Bill Hagee did not last forever. So maybe that is just kind of, maybe Fireman Ed's run his course is the bottom line here.
Man, he was counting out games in the rest of that whole clip. He was like, well, they didn't show me in the Broncos game, and they didn't show me in this game.
Yeah.
Tony, when do super fans become a part of the experience? Basically, I guess what I'm asking is, when can
a fan ruin
the experience by not being there?
I want to answer your first question.
Yeah.
A lot of times they become a part of the experience when the team isn't very good.
Hmm. Good point.
And the Jets are still not very good, so they should be showing Fireman Ed.
But at least now they have some players that you're going to see. For a while there, the Jets, you know, and he's been there as long as I can remember.
A long time.
Long time.
Long time.
I wanted to add to Wild Bill Hagee, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I found another story.
Wild Bill.
Tony wasn't done with his answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I got excited.
We'll get back to your Wild Bill Hagee.
I got excited.
I wanted to finish about Wild Bill, though. Yeah, I think I'm sure it would be nice. I mean, he's been there through some of the rougher times for them to at least give him a word on what they're thinking and why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay, I can see that.
But, I mean, to your point, Scrape, I think what you're getting at is you did buy your tickets to go watch the game, and you're getting to do that.
He's also not a part of the team. I mean, people aren't there to see Fireman Ed.
I don't know that it's a... Based on their owner, I don't think it's a good play to try to put him under pressure.
That's probably a good
point. Woody Johnson may kick you out of the stadium.
He might just revoke your tickets.
Chris, can you fix your camera? Everybody say you look like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Wilson.
With just the top of his face.
I forgot about
we had
that
someone
guy.
Here in San Diego. I don't know anything about this person, but Boltman, I know, was one.
Boltman.
But
I don't know that
around.
He led the cheers. Boltman got a lot of attention.
Okay. I think when you're a super fan like this, you got to take what the team gives you. You can't demand things.
Yeah. Fireman Ed is.
I mean, you should see his Instagram comments. People are up in arms over this.
Are they on his side?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I mean, it's his Instagram profile.
The Orioles still do.
Oh,
when they...
Let's go back to Wild Bill Hagee.
Well, I'm finishing up because he used to do the chant and he'd do the O-R all the way around. Evidently, in Baltimore still today, and Tony, maybe you've been there and noticed it. I don't know. But when they're singing the Star Spangled Banner,
yes, they still
when
go,
they arrive
oh!
at say does that Star Spangled Banner yet
yes.
wave? That is in tribute to Wild Bill Hagee's days.
Is that right?
There you go.
They not only do it at home, but when they travel on the road, their Oriole fans come
fans
here
yell, oh.
and they do it here as well.
That's for Wild Bill Hagee.
Okay.
There you go.
We're not in your stadium fans.
Wild Bill Hagee. Legend in Baltimore.
Legend.
He is. I you go to Baltimore, you mentioned Wild Bill, you don't have to pay for a drink anywhere.
Can I just claim
Good
on Wild
know.
Bill?
Good to go. We go there in 2 years. I'll definitely be
try it out.
Mentioning his name. All right. Padre news. Luis Arraez has successful thumb surgery. Certainly sent out an IG message and a little sling as he letting that thumb heal. You forget that he did have a thumb injury based on what he was able to still accomplish. Third straight batting title.
What did he do? I mean, he was the guy who brought the team down. I read FanGraphs today.
The myth of Luis Arraez.
That's right. That's right. The worthless guy that we have on our team leading off.
I hope he had Luigi the Mantis nowhere near him during this offseason because Luigi the Mantis still...
Bad luck?
Bad luck.
So he's not on the goose's terms?
You kidding me? The mantis is going in the garbage in San Diego lore.
Man.
Cold anyway, man. Yes, Luis Arraez.
Yes, surgery. Luis Arraez, surgery today. We go over some of the contracts we went over earlier. In other baseball news, Jerry Reinsdorf, owner of the Chicago White Sox, open for business. In other words, looking to sell, sounds like. Jerry Reinsdorf, who has owned the Bulls.
How about MJ? Not a good owner, though, is he?
Might be a good baseball
Maybe
owner.
Maybe baseball would do better.
He's done well in NASCAR?
MJ has?
Yeah. Hmm. He's got his team, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
not aware.
Come on, man.
I mean,
sorry.
I know that he...
Yes, I think he's done well in NASCAR. And my point is, maybe in sports that he actually didn't play,
right?
He's a better owner.
But
he's
too
did
close
play
to
baseball.
Basketball.
He didn't drive race cars.
He played baseball, but it wasn't a pretty sight.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be like, hey, you need to squash the bug.
You know what's funny, though?
They
hit Michael Jordan. The guy hit 202, which is not that bad. I don't think a lot of people could hit 202.
Considering he hadn't played since high school, he walked on a double-A field and hit 202.
That isn't as bad as people make it out to be.
I knew some 202 hitters that had been playing like their whole life.
You hit 202 in the big leagues right now, you can make... You know, $10, $15 million. Give you over to 200 mark now.
As long as you got the slug, you'll be good.
That's right.
Adam says on the chat, MJ's driver isn't very good.
It's not good.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's driver.
I know that he's in the courts against NASCAR.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah. He's a part of a big lawsuit going on, I believe. They've been bullied and said NASCAR's not having good business practices.
Yeah, I'm reading this now.
I read a little bit of everything.
Wow, you do. Well, it was Michael Jordan, that's why.
It's NASCAR. I don't give a crap if it's Michael Jordan or not. They're not usually diving into NASCAR.
He said he told The Athletic about this lawsuit, "I wouldn't have filed it if I didn't think I could win."
You know.
Shohei Ohtani grounds out meekly to first base.
There's no one on. So really, 0 for 20 now?
0 for 20 with nobody on. Game is underway in New York. Wow. Mookie Betts just strike out.
Who is that behind the plate?
Waving him out of there, the umpire?
Looked like Marvin Hudson. Let me check.
I think a game cast usually lists that, and that would be Marvin Hudson. On point. Yeah. Well done.
He's got the dinner jacket on, first of all.
Shout out
to the dinner jacket. I like it. It pitches off the plate, though, but it's all good. Mookie, a.k.a.
Marvin Hudson with the dinner jacket.
Something's wrong with Marvin.
Marvin just pulled a little muscle in the gluteus maximus.
I think he did. He's literally stopping the game.
All right, let's get to break. When we return, we'll jump into a little bit of what we talked about earlier. Padres soon to be free agents and if they'll be able to return. More Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic. Welcome back to the Gwen and Chris Show.
Why are you saying that, bro?
We go by a lot of different names. One name we don't go by is the Chris and Gwen Show.
Can't do that.
Because of Chris Gwen. But somebody just texted us to ask if Chris has ever been on.
I don't think my uncle has been on.
I don't think
the show.
Uncle Chris. I can't call him Uncle Chris. I mean, I remember him, you know, as his own guy.
I think we did a show on your dad's birthday years and years ago from Ailsmith.
Right, I think you're right.
He was supposed to be there, but I think he got caught in traffic or something. He didn't show up in time for the show. Maybe we'll have to get him on here. Yeah, that's up to you,
I think
Tony.
I'll make that happen. Walker Buehler looked sharp to start the game. First, struck out the Vientos after getting Lindor to fly to the warning track. Two outs in the first.
No score. WNBA, Game 3, Minnesota off to a good start. 14-7 over the Liberty.
You know, I have a problem with these uniforms.
Which ones?
No one has.
Nobody's wearing white?
No one's wearing white.
Yeah.
Two solids out there. I don't like that.
I would like it.
I guess that's like the NBA now.
The NBA's wearing a lot of games where there's no team wears white now. I've called for this for a couple years that the NBA go back to the home team wearing white.
At least someone should wear white.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you might be right.
They sell too many jerseys, Tony. You know this, right?
Yes,
they want to throw out every jersey they have for the home crowd to see and buy.
Well, there are going to be some new City Connects next year because there's a bunch that are ending this year, I saw. At least
wait a
five
minute.
Or six.
Baseball, we're going to do it again? We're going to do another round of City Connects?
Yes. The Yankees are the only team that doesn't have one, and it's by choice.
Yeah.
They basically were
somebody
like,
asked me if they had one, and I said, I thought they did one, but they just don't ever wear it.
Nope, they didn't do one at all. They're only team. So, but I know, I think the Dodgers are retiring theirs. The Astros are retiring theirs.
Are the Padres?
Padres aren't. But I think they're only supposed to go like...
Another year?
3 years, maybe.
Okay. So this will be the third?
I honestly think about
22. Yeah, yeah.
25%.
Yeah, remember, everybody didn't come in at the same time. You had
They were staggered.
Third of a came in one time, and then the next third, whatever it was.
I liked about 25% of them. The ones I don't like are the ones that are all black from head to toe, and every team looks the same that wears that.
I like Tampa's.
Tampa's.
Oh, I do like Tampa's too. That's a pretty cool logo. It's got like the neon green and like the purple.
All right.
I give it that one.
I mean, the Dodgers got two and both of them were terrible.
I like the confetti one.
I heard that was a Disneyland one, but I never thought about like confetti.
I don't think Disney has anything to do. It's just, I think because they're so close to one another that people just make that up. Disney at one point was part owner owned the Dodgers, didn't they, at one point? Disney?
Or was it the Angels? So.
Might have been
Angels. I think that was an Angels thing.
It might have been an Angels.
Another movie Chris will have to watch, Angels in the Outfield.
Terrible.
I would feel bad for him if he had watched that.
It's terrible.
Tony,
it's
come on. We're just close enough in age that you know.
I didn't like that one.
It's not good.
If the Angels win the pennant, the dad's going to take him home.
I didn't like that one.
It's not good. Think about the premise
Rookie
of that.
Rookie of the Year, like that.
Okay.
Little Major Big League. I was kind of...
All right. Well, I'm going to stop looking for really good movies for you to see. I'm just going to look at movies through the years that just didn't work.
That's
what you're looking for me. You're not trying to even find a good movie.
No, we're going to have to go 1 week good movies, 1 week bad movies.
No, we're not doing this. Every week. You'll be lucky if I ever watch one of your movies, let alone one every week.
Why would you intentionally watch a bad movie, though?
Because I like bad movies. Well, I think they're hilarious. Yes, I love every single movie.
Well, seems that way.
Most people don't. I hope you understand that. Most people don't like every movie.
I do. I watched Smile last night. Usually I fall asleep to horror movies and people dying and all that stuff.
You're a strange man. You fall asleep to horror movies?
Yes, I do. I was watching Hellraiser the other night when I was falling asleep.
It was probably scary in the 80s.
Yeah, but Smile, it's sneaky creepy. Gotta say, they have Smile 2 coming out. There's two people behind home plate. Because they do this marketing thing where they just pay these people to sit behind home plate or in the stands and smile.
My guy in L.A. got spooked, though. He was trying to stay in character. Ball game, and he was like...
Yeah, he couldn't stay in character, which was hilarious.
Wait, this is happening during these games?
Yeah, yes.
The movie Smile is paying for people to sit behind home plate?
Was it Game 2?
I think it was one of the first two games.
Game 1 or Game 2 in L.A., there was two people in bright yellow shirts sitting behind a thing with just smiling. And then, I can't remember who it was, fouled a ball straight back. And my man, he did his best. He was trying not to
Hang in there with the smile.
And then he couldn't help but look up and duck because he couldn't find it. It was kind of funny.
Scraby, did you do the on these Chronicles last night? By the way, Scraby Chronicles once again tonight.
Oh, yes. By the way,
6 o'clock.
We have Padres therapy tonight.
All right.
Oh, Padres therapy.
Yes, then we can turn the page. I say a negative.
You're forcing them past denial.
Yes, I say a negative about the playoffs, and then I say a positive about the season. And then we're going to go like that. We've done it once before, and people said they enjoyed it. So we're going to try it again.
Scraby Chronicles at 6 o'clock. Did you do your gripe last night about what we said?
Did we officially change it? Did you officially change it to Chronicles?
I've said it a million times. I don't want to change the logos.
You need to change it to Chronicles.
Chronicles is too long of a name.
It's not.
It doesn't fit on things. It doesn't fit on things, though.
You can abbreviate it.
Did I talk about
the gripe that we said you were going to do, or that I suggested?
What was that again?
The helmets.
Oh, I didn't gripe it, but I did talk about it.
All right, well, we haven't talked about it on this show.
What's that?
The straws? I hate the fact that there's the logo on all the helmets in the playoffs, and I just don't think Major League Baseball needs whatever extra money they got for that. There.
I'm with you, and not only that, it's a random German clothing company.
I don't even know what they do.
Listen, it looks crazy.
Right?
But at the end of the day, it doesn't bother
me. We have to accept it at this point that this is what they all do.
It doesn't bother me. It looks horrible. Me and Jesse were talking about it all playoffs.
And it's going to happen throughout the next, four seasons.
It looks bad. But,
I was saying that if you're going to put a sponsor on a helmet of a Major League Baseball team, it's got to be an American company. Baseball is American to me. And to just say, hey, we're going to put on a German clothing company on our helmet.
Major League Baseball said, you're not paying enough money.
I know. It's like they need more money or something.
Break bread.
And someone suggested Dickies be the sponsor because they're similar companies.
Dickies. That would be funny, actually.
You already have so much money. And to make us have to stare at this logo every time anyone comes to
bat. Killing your eyes to look at it?
No, I'm used to it by now.
I don't hardly see it anymore, but what you said, Tony, I don't like it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good. It's not aesthetically pleasing.
I know they don't care that I don't like it, but I wish they did.
Do you think, Tony, you may not know this, but someone asked me last night, I didn't know. Is this like a revenue sharing thing? Like they sign the contract with Major League Baseball and all the teams get some sort of cut?
I'm sure all the teams get a cut of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because it's everywhere. It's on every single postseason.
How much money could it possibly be? Like hundreds of millions of
considering
dollars?
Considering that they waited for the playoffs for you to be able to even do it.
Right.
Probably means they were able to charge a pretty high price for it. I don't know what that number is.
Yeah, I'm looking to
see if I can
find
it. I'm sure
you're
not going to find it. Yeah, they don't want you to find that number.
I've been trying to find it for a long time.
They don't want you to find that number. I mean, they should be embarrassed.
Oh, wow. Strauss decals were also added to MLB The Show last week.
So they got it in the game, too.
They so they must be paying for that.
So the game, I mean, that players definitely get a piece of the game. So whatever went into that.
So everybody's cashing in on this
eyesore.
Except for us.
Cashing in on the eyesore.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. They did pass along the savings to the fans. The ticket price was much lower this year.
Oh,
I'm sure.
So much lower.
Yeah,
so much.
They made all this extra money. Sure you did. Sure you did.
Don't ask any Padres season ticket holder.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to hear that.
Real quick, Padres who will be free agents for sure. Martin Perez, unrestricted free agent. Ha-Sung Kim, mutual option.
Means what does that mean? They both have to do it, or one of them?
If either one of them says, "Nah, I'm good," deal's
that's
off.
Over. Okay.
Yeah. Tanner Scott, unrestricted free agent. Wandy Peralta has a player option for 4.3. Betting he'll take that. Higgy, Kawagashioka, free agent.
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
We all like Higgy. We all like Profar.
Profar, free agent.
Yeah.
Elias Diaz, free agent. Donovan Solano, free agent. David Peralta, free agent.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dylan Cease under arbitration. Not a free agent. Michael King, not a free agent. Luis
if I
Arise,
didn't mention their name,
agent.
They weren't free agents, Scraby.
I just know that people have questions. So, what about Dylan Cease?
If I didn't mention their name, not a free
agent. That's why we have the Chronicles, for you to regale people with that information
My actual gripe last night was another dog park one, but this guy was...
Can I ask you a question on the Chronicles? How much sports do you guys...
Oh, we talk about a lot of sports.
Okay.
I usually leave like the 640 segment for all the rest.
The
best of the rest. But this guy at the dog park...
Boy, do you have problems at the dog park.
Man, what are you doing at the dog park?
Nothing.
That gives you so many
issues.
No,
the dog park, for the most part, we are all friends. We are all part of the same dog park crew. And when a new person comes over to the dog park, we invite them into the crew. But this person did not like that Lucky was chasing after his dog, who was chasing a ball. And I said, did my dog, take your dog down?
Control your dog, man.
Okay, here's the thing. This is the gripe. You cannot come to a dog park and say, can you please not have your dog play with my dog? You're at a dog park.
Chris?
Wait, you're...
I want your opinion
on
this.
Yeah, I need to hear it again. Did you attack somebody's dog?
No.
Okay, what happened?
Lucky.
So,
dog was chasing their
so
dog.
So this guy had one of those flinger things,
No, keep your dog in order, Scraby.
Okay,
keep
hold on. You haven't heard the whole story order. Yet before you give
what
Lucky.
What we do know is that Lucky is always into some stuff.
Okay, he
normally
threw the ball.
Smelly stuff.
He does like to ruin coyote poop. He threw the ball with his little flinger thing.
To his dog.
His dog, which was a golden retriever, went after the ball. Lucky was following 3 to 4 feet behind. Lucky doesn't want the ball, doesn't want to touch the dog, just wants to chase the dog.
But the dog doesn't want to be chased.
The owner, dog did not care.
The owner of the dog, the dog, according to you, dogs can talk and you understand them. Maybe the golden retriever told his owner, I don't like this.
You have to keep your dog in it.
I think you kind of got to keep it
under somewhat of control.
He's not out of control. He's just playing. He's running.
He's chasing another dog. The dog doesn't want to be chased. He told his owner that.
He did not. The dog looked at me and said, my owner sucks. So, can you take me home, please? This guy won't even let me get chased by another dog.
That's what his dog said, huh?
No, and he was like, can you please make sure that your dog doesn't chase after my dog? And I'm like, we're at a dog park!
What did you really say, though?
I said, we're at a dog park, just like that.
Did you really say that?
Just like this, like, we're at a dog park.
So you basically told the guy, I really don't care.
Go pound sand.
And you know what the rest of the crew did, too?
What'd they do? They, you gathered them up, like,
pound let's sand.
No, I said, dog park crew, unite! And they all got behind me, and they said, get out of our park!
This sounds like something
they didn't say
Scrabinators
that,
would say.
They're not Scrabinators. I'm just Lucky's dad at the dog park.
You're just Lucky's dad at the dog park.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of a focal point, sounds like to me.
At the dog park?
Seems like
I do.
You got your Dodger friend that was nice to you at the dog park.
He
didn't rub it in.
No,
you're
he didn't.
Notorious over there.
Really surprising to me because every time I walked over there, it was something Dodger related, and this time he didn't say anything bad. Hmm. Anyway, we got Stacey Terry coming up.
Take us to break.
Stacey Terry Hudson, Aztecs women's basketball coach, joining us next on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:38 is the time. I got to tell you, Tyrone Taylor, the Mets center fielder, just made one of the great catches in postseason history.
Yeah, it was almost ugly.
Yes, it was. Starling Marte and he were about to collide on the warning track in right center field. Taylor with a sliding catch, as good as any you'll see. Did not prevent, though, the Dodgers from scoring two runs in the top of the second. LA's taking a 2-0 lead. Tony was the proverbial little ball. Got a walk, got a fielder's choice on a bunt, got a grounder to the pitcher that was bobbled. The runners moved up. Another grounder to the pitcher that was missed for one infield run, and then the sack fly and the great catch by Tyrone Taylor. Would have been more had he not caught it.
Yeah, Marvin Hudson is not very good behind the plate today.
Starving Marvin back there, not doing it.
Umpire, that strike zone is quite wide tonight.
Well, maybe Walker Buehler and the Dodgers will take advantage of it. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. We just gave you baseball, WNBA Finals. Minnesota has been shooting from distance in this game. The three-point shot is falling for the Lynx. They lead New York 35-25 in the second quarter. Speaking of women's basketball, Stacey Terry Hudson, San Diego State had their women's media day today in Las Vegas, and she's back from Las Vegas. Going to join us here shortly after we check some traffic. All right, Gwen and Chris rolling along until 6 o'clock, then it's the Scraby Chronicles with the host of your show there, Matt Scraby. We are always excited to have Stacey Terry Hudson on the program with the women's basketball team. And when we last left her, Tony, I don't know if you remember, they made the run to the finals of the Mountain West Tournament, and Stacey Terry Hudson had the quote of the year. Do you remember
it? I don't remember the quote.
She said, "The blinker has been on for a long time, but now we finally turned the corner." It's a great line by you, Coach. How are you today? How was Las Vegas and media day?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Las Vegas was wonderful. I'm actually back in this beautiful city that we all know and love and excited to get back to practice tomorrow with my team.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you heard I referenced your line about the blinker being on and turning the corner last year. And I know you really are excited about this team you have going into this season.
Yes, yeah, we turned the corner. And it was a great turn, but now we have an idea of what it looks like to go in that direction. And you know, this group has been really, really intentional with getting better and motivated to get us back to that same spot, if not win that championship game. So it's been a really, really good, fun, enthusiastic group to coach. And like you said, I'm excited about the potential. But, you know, right now in October, that's all it is potential. So excited to play somebody else to see where we are. We have a scrimmage this week and one next week as well. So I'll have a better idea of where we are. But the future is bright. There's a lot of good things going on in our program right now, and excited to be able to watch it every day.
Coach, we talked a little bit about it last year, but I mean, obviously over the last 2-3 years, it seems like your program has really started to kind of gain some ground. When you've gotten to, you know, to this point and you're trying to continue to climb and take this program to new heights, What are some of the important steps that, that you want to continue to keep applying to each and every team you have moving forward?
Well, you know, you guys follow us and follow a lot of college basketball and understand the craziness of the portal and just college athletics right now. So I think what we've been able to do with our program is keep people in our program that are good quality human beings, that are good basketball players as well. So continuing to recruit the right way, getting people on the bus, in the right seat, and understanding what we're about, the culture that we have been able to, you know, bring back to San Diego State, and I think has really been the key of being able to sustain the little bit of success that we've had. We're not happy with where we've been. We're definitely hungry to do more. So, like I said, it's really about the people and the young women that we have on our in our program.
Yeah, you talked about you know, this whole thing and coach, you know, getting people that ball buy into it. The stat here, Tony, is that the Aztec women's team was one of just 20 schools that did not have a player enter the portal. Now, that's pretty mind-boggling when you consider there's over 300 teams, right? So only 20 teams, nobody left. It says something about you guys, coach, and you just talked about the kids, but you're obviously putting something pretty good together that nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to leave. That's great. Hard to do.
Well, you know, it's a really incredible stat that I'm very proud of, but I do think that that's going to change year to year.
Yeah.
Thank you for the compliment, and I do believe it's about the young women. I mean, they celebrate themselves. They are all into our vision and what we're trying to do here. And I think it's about the support staff and all the resources that we have at San Diego State. We have everything we need to be successful from that standpoint. And I think our girls feel the love and enjoy being pushed. And that championship run definitely helped. It definitely helped.
Stacey Terry Hudson, head coach, head women coach for the Aztecs. And coach, obviously you mentioned some exciting things happening with the program. The Pac-12 is where this school is really moving to in 2026. I mean, is there any benefits or is there any negatives for that being the case right now? Are you guys getting any benefits from this move to the Pac-12 right now, or is that something that's going to come down the line?
You know, it's a great question, and I think it's something that's going to come down the line.
Okay.
You know, it's still fairly new. I do think we've gotten a lot of traction, just people talking about it, and it's a great move for us as a program and as a university. So we're really excited about it. And with that, though, there's going to be some challenges. So, you know, our focus right now is really just continuing to grow and compete at a high level in the Mountain West. But I am grateful for the leadership and with our administration to put us in such a great position and joining a wonderful league. I was a part of this league back when it was the Pac-10, when I was an assistant at UCLA. I understand how powerful this league could be. A lot of people don't understand how good the Pac-12 was before they broke up in women's basketball, probably one of the top premier leagues. So I'm looking forward to being a part of that and helping bring that notoriety back to the Pac-12.
Coach, I know you are uber focused on what you're doing, but you obviously have to see what's going on in your sport. And it's not just at the college level, but the WNBA. Caitlin Clark today was named to the all WNBA first team, which is quite an achievement. Maybe we're not surprised with how talented she is, but I mean, she's in the big leagues now with some really good players. And this is just a great time to be part of women's basketball. And that's kind of what I would just speak on a little bit. You know, I think Caitlin Clark gets a lot of this credit, maybe over-deserved, but all the young ladies and athletes and coaches, and this is just fun to be a part of at the moment.
You know, she gets a lot of credit, and it is deserved, but it's also just, it's been an accumulation of the work that these young women have put in over the last decade or so. I mean, it's really exciting to watch the skill level, the athleticism, and how our game has grown. The coaches are better. The players are better. And I get to see it even as a parent on the grassroots level, because I have a little young daughter who's 12 herself playing basketball. So the opportunities that we are giving these young women to start playing sports, not just basketball, but women playing sports in general at such an early age is just teaching them so many more life lessons than just being a great athlete and providing so many wonderful opportunities. Not all of them like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and so on and so forth that are making, you know, big time money, but just being able to get a scholarship and attend a college is a huge accomplishment in some people's households. So we're excited just about the opportunities that the game is giving us. And I'm grateful because I've been able to come in, you know, when I was a youngster, play the game and see how far it's advanced. And it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. And what's most important is that my daughter that I talked about, she has someone who she can look up to and she looks like and can say, I can do that because she did it. And I think that's what makes me the most proud of what's been going on in women's basketball.
Now, Coach, with that being said, a lot of new eyeballs comes a little bit more, a lot more scrutiny and some new problems that may have popped up. I mean, what's been your take watching kind of the discourse about the WNBA and some of the things that the young women are dealing with in that league? I mean, I think they hadn't really had to deal with it at this level until these last couple of years. But what's been your take on that?
You know, this may be an unpopular opinion, but it kind of comes with the territory. It's unfortunate. And I think it's just, if I'm feeling crazy and I'll go in the comments and listen to what some of the people or read what some of the people are saying, and I'm blown away by the level of ignorance in these comments. It's entertainment at best, but but I think it kind of comes with the territory. There's a lot of or a big investment that comes with success. And I think that comes with the criticism. And I've been really proud of how a lot of these young women have handled themselves. And it's just going to make it stronger, make them stronger and make the game stronger. And I'm hoping that we can bring more positive fans into the game and just quiet some of that nonsense, so we can continue to uplift this sport as much as we can.
Coach, you're the best. We appreciate it. I hope that everybody out there who listens to us, I tell you all the time, but now more than ever, go out and see an Aztec women's game this year. Man. You're not going to be disappointed. These kids can play. They have a really good team this year, and there's some great opponents coming to Viejas Arena. So this is the year you go out and see at least one or two games. Coach, we'll see I think I'm coming to practice soon. So
I love it. When you come, Chris, you're always welcome.
Thanks, Coach. We'll see you again.
You got to bring your counterpart. You got to come some too, so you both can come.
I'm going to come check you guys out with him.
All right. Sounds great. We got a good group of girls, and it's going to be fun to watch. We're more athletic. We're playing at a faster pace. We're going to defend at a high level this year and share the ball and shoot the crap out of it. So it's going to be fun to watch.
We're looking forward to it.
Coach, best of luck. I'll see you soon. All right, there she goes, Coach Stacy Terry Hudson. Not only that, she's looking forward to this year for another reason, Tony, and I didn't want to put her on the spot. But Justin Hudson, her husband, is finally back in San Diego after his run at Fresno State. And he has been, doing a little help there at some of the practices. He's a pretty smart basketball guy.
It's a good mind to have in your corner.
Really good
for sure.
Mind to have. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he, that was unfortunate, obviously, for him that Fresno State finally didn't work out, but they can finally go through a basketball season together. So
that should be fun.
That should be fun. All right. Good day for basketball talk. Get our mind a little off the Padres as we move forward. Scraby is going to do more Padre therapy, he says, in the Scraby Chronicles, which are coming up.
The Mets got the bases loaded, huh?
They had it with one out, but Buehler struck out the number nine guy, Francisco Alvarez. But guess who's up
now? Mr. Lindor can get me a win in Daily Gambit right now, baby.
Lindor,
true.
1.5.
Oh, he only needs a hit and a run. Yeah, that's right. He could get 5 right now with a grand slam. Oh, yeah.
He's already done that.
He took a mighty cut.
He's already done that in the postseason, so won't put it past him.
Wouldn't put it past Lindor.
He's like one of three players in postseason history to hit a leadoff home run and a grand slam.
Isn't it funny that certain seasons, certain guys are just always up? When the bases are loaded, it's like you look around, it's Lindor. Yeah. Who else? That's, of course, who it's going to be.
Chris, so. I have an idea. Now, it just popped in my head. Mm-hmm. Now that Coach Hudson, Stacey Terry Hudson wants you guys to come to practice, I'm going to invite myself. And I am going to prove to you.
It's never a good thing when you invite yourself.
I'm
somewhere.
Going to prove to you that I can make a three.
Okay.
You're definitely in trouble in an arena. That depth perception is a little different, buddy.
Give me a few shots. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I can do it.
Rain bad. That's
not good.
I think it would be funny to bring him to practice, though, just to have him there.
I mean, I'm a really good defender. If they need someone on like a scout team,
they don't need somebody.
They don't need anyone.
No,
for
let me
a scout
tell you
team.
Something. That's something a lot of people don't know. But Tony, you're probably aware. When these kids practice, they practice against the guys.
Yeah,
they don't scout play, team.
Really?
Oh yeah. And the guys they play against, these guys are like good. I was telling one of the guys the other day, I go, you might want to miss a shot once in a while. You're going to depress the kids. You know, these guys are really good players that get out there to be on the scout team and play against the Aztecs out there on the floor.
They don't need me.
They won't need
they
you.
Would,
for
they
that.
Would abuse
my
you.
My former high school teammate Kevin O'Connell said that I was a great scout team player, so there's my resume.
We're trying to hang on through this Lindor at bat.
They're making it long as
yes,
odd
it's
usual.
3-2 now with two outs and the bases loaded.
We have 45 seconds.
Dodgers
for this to
are
happen.
Leading 2-0. We should get to see one more pitch and see what happens with Lindor. Bueller into the windup, ready to go. Struck him out. Wow.
That was a good.
Give it to Bueller for that one.
Ooh, he's yelling Bueller at Lindor.
Well, that's not surprising, knowing the
he's taking a note from Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, the competitiveness of Walker Bueller. All right, Scraby's got it next with the Chronicles. We're back tomorrow at 2. Thanks, everyone.